This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle within us the fire of your love. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and souls and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. A number of years ago, when I was working in a church in Queens, New York, we had a young priest who had just been ordained and came to say his first Mass, first service. And it was really beautiful. There was a triumphal procession. He walked up to the presider's chair. He turned around, blessed himself in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, looked out at the congregation and said, "Phew, so far so good." And that's a little how I feel this morning. About a month, many of you know that I was ordained a transitional deacon at the end of May. And about a month later, I said to Father Marty one day, "I have to give a sermon on Sunday at St. Mary's Church in Deerfield Beach," to which he responded rather sternly, "You don't have to give a sermon. We are given the privilege and the opportunity to preach. The minute it becomes a have to, it's time to hang it up." Well, I didn't have anything to hang up yet. So I said, "Let me rephrase," which brings me here to this pulpit this morning. And it is indeed a great privilege for me to stand here in this church, which welcomed me when I needed a church home, where I was received into the Episcopal Church, and where I hope, with God's grace and your consent, to be ordained a priest, and to be able to reflect with you today on the Word of God. So I thank Father Marty, and especially Rev. Wendy, who has graciously given up the privilege of preaching this morning on my behalf, and who even sang on my behalf. I'm sure some of you are grateful. And as I read and prayed with the gospel this week, the words of Peter really resonated with me. "Lord, to whom can we go?" On Facebook last week, one of my cousin's sons posted that his father was in the hospital. He wrote, "Most of us don't pray anymore, so please send good thoughts his way." He meant well, I know, but I thought, good thoughts? What are good thoughts supposed to do? If not prayer, if not Christ, to whom can we go? And certainly in this parish, this summer, we have seen the power of prayer, the efficacy of prayer in sickness. Fortunately, every one of his friends responded that they did in fact pray and would pray for his father. Several years ago, there was a popular movie called Midnight Cowboy. Maybe some of you remember it. In it, John Voight plays a young fellow in Texas, Joe Buck, who, as I remember, was working as a dishwasher in a small, rundown Texas town. When he decides he's irresistible to women, and he will go to New York to be a hustler, thereby avoiding work and hooking up with wealthy women. It doesn't work out that way, as you can imagine. He finds out he is not irresistible to wealthy women, and New York, in the days before Times Square was turned into Disney World, is the opposite of paradise. The one person he does hook up with is Dustin Hoffman's character, Ratso Rizzo. Love that name, Ratso Rizzo. His name was really Rico Rizzo, but the denizens of their city called him Ratso, which is one of the sad things about that movie. Together, Ratso and Joe bring us into the bleak underbelly of city immorality. And when they finally realize that this is not paradise, they decide to set out for paradise in Miami. No one said they were geniuses. On their way to Miami, there's one of the saddest final scenes in any film. I tell you about this because when the film won the 1970 Academy Award, there was an interview with the director, John Schlesinger, in the New Yorker magazine. He was asked to explain the theme of the movie and why he thought it was important. His response was that the story is about a donut hole. He said, "We are all born with a donut hole inside of us, a donut hole that longs to be filled. And so throughout our lives, we are constantly tempted to fill that hole with all sorts of things: money, power, prestige, work, food, drugs, alcohol, relationships. But nothing is enough. Nothing works. The ache remains. We get something, we want more." In the movie, the main character, Joe Buck, was looking for love in all the wrong places. As Christians, we would say, as Rev. Wendy did last Sunday, that we are born with a divine longing, our longing for God, which is ultimately God's longing for us. "Our hearts are restless till they rest in thee," St. Augustine, that famous sinner, came to find out. For most of us, that realization is less dramatic. We are not great sinners. We have tried as best we can to follow Christ. But sometimes, at some times, we get distracted or discouraged. Some of us may have turned away at one point or another. It's hard to stay with Jesus, as the people in today's gospel found out. It can be lonely. And I know myself, sometimes the loneliness comes when I'm with friends or family and somebody says something disparaging about somebody else, or someone tells an off-color joke and you feel like you're the only one that's going to piously step up and say, "Please don't do that." But what I have found is that when I have the courage to do that, people will say, "Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that." Or other people will say, "Yes, you're absolutely right. You know, you shouldn't do that again." In the first reading today, which we didn't read here this morning, but was at the other services, we have the people of Israel deciding whether they're going to follow the pagan gods of their ancestors or to follow the one God with whom they have covenanted. And finally, Joshua stands up and says, "I don't care what the rest of you do, but as for me and my family, we will follow the Lord." And then they say, "Oh yes, us too. We'll all do it." And I think sometimes when we have the courage and the integrity to follow Christ publicly in our lives, in the presence of friends, family, neighbors, coworkers, that happens. But it's not easy. And then again, maybe we haven't turned away exactly, but have looked for love in all the wrong places, as John Schlesinger says. But Lord, to whom can we go? Somehow, in times of need, good thoughts just don't do it. Today, we finally come to the end of John's Gospel, chapter 6, where we have been stuck most of the summer, as if we must stay with it until we finally get it. Jesus fed the crowd with bread and fish so they would not be hungry. But then he reminds them that they will be hungry again. That's the donut hole, that only the bread from heaven will feed their longing. And many turned away, but not all. "Lord, to whom can we go?" asks Peter. Still, it must have been confusing. Eat his flesh, drink his blood. Not until the last meal with his friends does he clarify the issue. "This bread, blessed, broken, and given, is my body. This wine is my blood." This is the meal we reach out for at the communion rail, caught between our longing to be fed and our certain knowledge that love impels us outward, that we too are being called to take, bless, break, and give the stuff of our own lives, now joined to Christ. And despite what you may have heard, this food and drink is not reserved for the holy. It's for all of us, and especially for those of us who need it most. It feeds us for courage, for love, for all that we need to get through the coming week and through the ups and downs of life. There is no litmus test of who is worthy. One of the things that brought me to the Episcopal Church was the fact that all baptized Christians are welcome at this meal. And now I realize that even that is not enough. Jesus doesn't stand at the door of the church or at the head of this aisle checking baptismal certificates. His hospitality here is his hospitality so long ago. His desire for us is even greater than our desire for him. The people are hungry, and he has compassion. And like those people so long ago, those who experience his compassion and hospitality today may come to want to be with him, to be one with him, to be one with us, and to find their longing satisfied. Some may turn away, but Lord, to whom can we go? And so we come, you and I, to this table, Sunday after Sunday, to be fed, holding out our hands to receive what it has pleased God to put into them, the very bread of heaven. In eating this bread and drinking this wine, we literally become, in the mystery of the Eucharist, one with him, and through him, one with one another. But we also recognize that we have been fed for a reason. Send us now into the world in peace, we pray. Send us out to do the work you have given us. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. That's the job description. Having practiced our priesthood in worship, we go forth to exercise it in our lives, loving and serving the Lord who plays hide and seek in every face we meet. Let us go forth into the world, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. The dismissal sentence changes our direction. It grabs us by the shoulders and turns us around, tugging us away from this lovely altar and pointing us toward the open door, the door into the world which hungers, longs for the bread of heaven, for the God who fills that donut hole, for the God who is love. Amen.